Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk. They do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And God indeed bless his word to us this morning. So what does it look like to spend New Year's Day in church? After all, this is a day when people tend to get more philosophical about life. Right? Even the secular world kind of takes time to stop, to think, to reflect. Some of it encouraged by the media. They throw these stories out there about, oh, here are the top headlines from the year past. Here are all the people who are the famous people who have died in the past year. We feel compelled to look, to think, to reflect. What have we just lived through, and where are we headed? Of course, on a personal level, many people get excited this time of year about making changes, thinking how they'd like things to be a little different in the year ahead. They make plans, they make resolutions, and maybe you've already made some plans yourself. Have you set some goals? Things you'd like to do differently? A lot of people are doing that, of course, and usually, if you pay attention to some of the top 10 lists, usually the top resolutions and plans and goals for the new year are not trivial things. Usually they're fairly substantial. People making plans about spending more time with their family, getting healthier either by eating differently or losing weight or exercising more, stopping smoking, getting out of debt. They're some of the top ones that resolutions people make every year. They're not trivial things. So what difference does it make that we're here in church? That we're here as the psalm speaks to the people of God, the family of God. How do we do this any differently as believers? Is there anything distinctive about how we think about a new year? Psalm 115 can be helpful. Not because it really has anything to do with New Year's. You didn't notice anything in there about a new year. As far as I'm aware, there's nothing in the historical background that has anything to do with a New Year's celebration. Though actually, I don't think that's a bad thing. Because here, what we have is what is true all the time. What is good all the time. The God who reigns all the time. And what could be better to think about as we begin a new year than that which has always been and always will be? So let's go ahead and look at the psalm and think about this as a New Year's psalm. And we'll break it up into several pieces, five different parts. We're going to spend more time on the first part, the first verse, as it really sets the tone for the psalm and then take a look at the rest in turn. Beginning with verse 1, the most famous line from the psalm, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." You see, as the psalmist begins, it's a prayer, right? He's addressing God, but not just as an individual. It's not to us. And as you see later, there's this sense of the whole of God's people. It speaks of Israel, those who fear the Lord, the house of Aaron, the priests are there. This is essentially a church service. God's people are gathered together and they're praying to God. They're praying to God in the midst of hard times. You look at verse 2, there's pressure, there's criticism, there's mocking from the peoples around. The non-Christian world is saying, "Where is your God? Where is your God?" No doubt there's some kind of hardship, and the nations are saying, "Certainly God's not helping you, your God isn't doing much." So in the midst of that pressure, what do God's people do? They gather together and they start to pray. Look to God in need for help. But they don't look to the Lord saying, "Lord, help us for us." Not primarily, not centrally. Instead, the prayer where it begins is, "No, not to us, O Lord, but to your name give glory." Lord, as the psalm will go on to say and reflect on, God being the help of his people, the shield, the protection, the God who does hear and does answer his people, regardless of what the nations say. But their prayer in the midst of looking to the Lord for help is not, "Lord, do this for our glory," but, "Lord, do this for your glory. For your glory." Of course, the temptation at this time of the year is to begin to think about life as being lived for our glory. A lot of the things that people tend to think about this time of year in and of themselves are not bad. But the real question is, well, why? "I want to organize my closet this year." Okay, good goal. Why? Or, I want to be healthier. I want to spend more time with my family. I have these certain career goals. These can be all very good things. But why? As we get to the heart of it. And of course, the temptation is to, "Well, I want these things for me. Because I want to be stronger so I can live longer and enjoy more for me. I want to feel good about myself. I want to accomplish. I want my glory." We make plans, we set goals for us, and too often, right, God is left out of the picture. Or at least given a place far down the road. But here the psalmist reminds us, even in the midst of calling out to the Lord and looking to him for help in the midst of the details, the heart that is to be behind it. "Lord, at the end of the day, not for me. Not for my glory. For God's people. It's to be different." We can go back to that first question in the catechism, right? What is the chief end of man? Right? What's the chief goal, the chief purpose, the chief direction that God has us here? Maybe on a day like today, we can even change the question. What's the chief end of the year? Right? Why does God have this year in front of us? I mean, we can even go backwards and say, why did God give us 2016? Why was it there? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's why God had put you through it. And if you go back, and we'll reflect on this a little more later, if you go back and look at the details, you'll see God, even through the hard things, worked things together for his glory. So that at the end, you end up knowing him better, enjoying him more, and he's glory, His goodness, His care, His love, His mercy and righteousness is shining forth. That's why God gave us 2016. Which then gets us to the question of, well, why 2017? What's the chief end of 2017? Why has God allowed us to flip the page in the calendar? Why is it here? What's its purpose? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Right? There is the purpose for each day. There is the goal. This is why God has this period of time in front of us. So that we can wake up and we can pray, Lord, not to us, but to Your name, give glory. Knowing as the psalm goes forward, that this is exactly the way that we are the most blessed. As He gets all the glory, we find the most blessing. And so what that has us thinking about, and as we think about a new year, is it means us, on one hand, doing the same things that the world is doing, only differently, and yet also has us, on the other hand, doing some things completely different. So if it's really the purpose of 2017 is to glorify God, then it will have us doing some of the same things differently. So maybe it has us setting some similar goals. It could for you. Maybe you have planned things you'd like to see, and maybe they match up with some of the top 10 lists. You'd like to be healthier or get a little more organized or spend more time with your family or be more focused in paying down debt and caring for your finances. Maybe it has you doing some of the same things. But if the chief end for God's people is to glorify God, then it's going to have us doing some of the same things, only differently. So it's not going to be, I'm going to organize my finances so that I have more stuff for me. It's going to be, Lord, I'm going to help me to organize my finances to honor You so that I have more to give. So they have more ways to see Your perfect provision for me. It might have us wanting to be healthier, but not just so that we can do what we want, but so that we have more strength to serve. And our prayer is, Lord, help me to be strong and healthy so that I can serve You, so that I can sacrificially love with all the energy that You give to those around us. So it has us doing some of the same things in a different way, but also has us doing some different things. Some things that the world looks at and says, that doesn't make much sense. Well, it does if the purpose of the year is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. All right, the world might look and say, you know, getting up early on a Sunday morning and getting ready and coming to church and Sunday school, and that doesn't make any sense. Why not sleep in? Why not enjoy your coffee in bed? Why not read a book or go for a walk or play golf? That doesn't make any sense. Well, if the purpose is to glorify God, and that's why He's given us this year, then it makes perfect sense. Right? Why strive to be that one who speaks differently in the office? He doesn't join in with the usual gossip and laugh at the typical jokes. It doesn't make any sense unless the year is to glorify God and enjoy Him. Why bring up Jesus to unbelievers and run the risk of losing a friendship or causing tension in a relationship? Well, if the purpose is to glorify Him, it's not about us, then it makes perfect sense. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name, give glory. And then from there, the rest of the psalm flows out. There's the theme, and then it's just flowed out in various iterations, various reflections on that one theme. The very next section is all about the impotence of idols. You see, the nations are calling out, where is your God? They're looking at the God of Israel and saying, well, he's not doing anything. And the immediate response from God's people is, oh, we know exactly where the Lord is. He's in heaven. And He's doing all He pleases. Right? What a good reminder. Right? He might not be acting the way people expect him to act, but he's doing exactly what he pleases. He's acting according to his will. If we don't see him acting in a certain way, it doesn't mean he's powerless. It doesn't mean he's not present. It means his ways are higher than our ways. His plans are different than our plans. And that mighty God who is doing as he pleases stands in very sharp contrast to the gods of the nations, the idols. And the language of verses 4 to 7 is powerful. It's worth reading again. As here, the psalmist reflects, God's people reflect on the idols of the nations. God says, God's people say, their idols, those of the nations, are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak. Eyes, but do not see. Ears, but do not hear. Noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel. Feet, but do not walk. They do not make a sound in their throat. This is a theme that you see at various places in the scriptures as God's people and the Lord through the Holy Spirit reflects on the idols of the nations and they're mocked. Did you catch the tone here? It's a mocking tone. If you would take this kind of tone onto the basketball court or onto the football field, you'd say this is someone talking trash. You've heard that expression, right? Playing a basketball game and you're kind of mocking the other team. Ah, oh, you're nothing. You're going down. We're going to destroy you. You know, you're talking trash. And you say it's trash because usually it's boasting with no basis in reality. And here the psalm is having that same mocking tone, but it's not trash. It's truth. The psalmist is mocking God's people, are mocking the idols. They're talking truth. Because unlike the God of who is enthroned in heaven doing as he pleases, what do we have the idols, the gods of this world? Well, they might appear to have senses. And a statue might have ears. They really can't hear any prayers of yours. It might look to have eyes. But it really can't see what's going on. It can't speak. They're nothing. And so here the God's people look at these idols of the nations and say, these are nothing. This is garbage. Trusting in this, it's worthless. Actually, it goes on in verse 8 to say, it's worse than worthless. To trust in such gods as these, well, it's dangerous because you actually end up becoming like them. These foolish things, if you trust in them, you become foolish yourself. You trust in them, you become impotent, powerless yourself. They will perish and so will we if we trust in them. And as we start a new year, it's important to make that distinction in our minds between the God who rules and reigns, the God who has called us his children, who is our help and our shield, and the gods that the world is tempted to trust in, that we're tempted to trust in. It's helpful to remember that these very gods that are mocked in this psalm are the very gods that the people of Israel, from the very first days they had as a nation, were always tempted to bow down to. And frequently did. And they needed this reminder. Oh yeah, that's right. I'm tempted to think this thing will help me. But it can't. But it's powerless. And the very thing in our day, the very things in our day that the world trusts in, are the very things we're going to be tempted to trust in. As the world looks for personal ambition and relationships and pleasures, thinking this will make life worth living. This will provide help. This will provide security. We're going to be tempted in those same ways. Maybe you can think of a particular idol that you're tempted to worship. Remember, an idol can be anything, even a good thing, that you're tempted to say, this is more important than God. That this thing is my source of life. This thing will provide safety for me. This thing will make life worth living. We'll talk in just a second about the Lord as our help and our shield, right? Our place of safety and protection. But an idol is that thing we're tempted to think, this created thing, if I have this, then I'm safe. And you can fill in the blank. Relationship, money, pleasure, safety, physical provision. If I just have this, this will keep me safe. This will give me joy. And it could be anything. Can you think of what idol you were tempted to run after and cling to in 2016? You can be pretty sure that it's the exact thing you'll be tempted to run after in 2017. So what do? I think you take a lesson from Psalm 115. And you talk a little trash. Now you talk truth. This thing, it's nothing. I'm tempted to trust in you. But you can't help me. Not really. You can't bring me life. You can't bring me joy. You can't sustain me in hard days. You can't keep me praising God in good days. No. In fact, if I really trust in you and follow you, I'm going to become worthless just like you. Can you speak that truth to that thing you're tempted to bow down to, right? Joyfully? Because immediately you go to the next part of the psalm and say, but there is a God worth trusting in. There is a God who provides all that the idols don't. It is the Lord Himself. And we have in verses 9 through 11 this refrain. It's the repetition that's given again and again. Remember, whenever you see repetition in Scripture, this is emphasis. This is the ancient way of putting something in bold and italics and highlighting it. You repeat it. And the call is, trust in the Lord. Well, why? Why not trust in the idol? Trust in the Lord. Why? Because He is their help and their shield. It can do what the idols can't. The Lord is powerful. The Lord can protect. And that's the really what is emphasized here. The Lord is that which helps and protects. He is their help and their shield. Again and again, repeated three times. The Lord caring for His people and showing that care, showing that commitment by helping them and protecting them. This year for Christmas, the big gift we gave to our kids is we're going to take a trip as a family to medieval times. Have you ever been to medieval times? Lord willing, we're going to go this next Saturday. They have this tournament where you get food, and right in front of this little stadium, they have guys dressed up in all medieval costumes and in real armor and real weapons, and they have a tournament. They'll fight with swords and axes and maces, and it's really quite fascinating and spectacular. And one of the things they do that's the most dramatic is they joust, real joust, real horses charging at each other full gallop. And of course, you know how the joust works. You got the lance, and you just long point aimed right at the other guy. And sure enough, the soldier is protected. The knight is protected, even though the enemy lance is headed straight for him, because he's got a big shield. Right? And you see in a very dramatic fashion how when the shield meets that lance, the lance just splinters and shatters. It's quite dramatic. But there's a picture for God's people. How we're safe because of the Lord. Right? Here we have in 2017 all sorts of enemies bearing down upon us as God's people. Right? The weapons aimed straight for our hearts. But if we have the Lord, right, we are named among those who fear the Lord and trust Him, right? Cling to Jesus as the only hope there. What's the promise? He's our shield. We're safe. We're protected. We are promised that He is the one who helps us. And therefore, as we go to the next section, the one who will bless us. Will bless us. Look at verses 12 through 13. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. Unlike the idols, the Lord can care for His people, can protect them, can help them. And here the psalm both looks back and looks forward. The Lord has remembered us. Can you look back with the psalm? Can you go back through 2016 and say, yeah, the Lord blessed me. No, it wasn't the created things, the idols that I might be tempted to run after. They in and of themselves didn't provide blessing, but the Lord, He cared. And yet sometimes He demonstrated His care through giving tangible things, tangible created blessings that He showered upon you. Can you go back and name? Oh, that's right. God, I didn't expect this. I certainly didn't deserve that. But God gave it anyway. Can you name some of those things? In the good times where God just poured on unexpected blessings. Can you go back and remember the hard times of 2016? And see that even there was the Lord. And you can rejoice because you're here. Which means that even through the hard times of the year, your faith didn't fail. Right? The Lord preserved you. The Lord kept you. Even through the deepest valley, He guarded you like that shield. You can look back and even see, as God's Word promises, that your faith is stronger than it was last year. Yeah, even through the harder times. Even in the midst of your sin. Right, we talked about the idols that we're tempted to go after and the ones you went after this year. Maybe specific things come to your mind that you're still ashamed of. Can't believe I did this or said that or hurt that person. But even there, can you see in the year past God's blessing, even in the midst of your sin? Because you see the depth of your need and there the promise of Scripture that as you cling to Jesus, it's forgiven completely. Your sin separated from you as far as the east is from the west. Nothing more needs to be paid for. That you don't have to look at 2017 and say, okay, now I gotta pay for what I did last year. No. That you have a Father who delights to heap good things upon you in this year ahead, even though you did nothing to deserve them in the year past. Right? The Lord has remembered us. Verse 12. He will bless us. So we look ahead and we say, what is 2017 going to be all about? It's going to be the year of blessing. It's going to be the year of blessing. You can put that title on your calendar for the whole year. 2017, year of blessing. You can make a note to look back on January 1st, 2018. Look for the blessing and you can be guaranteed you'll see it. In all the same ways that God blessed last year. Giving you good things that you didn't deserve. Caring for you every step of the way. Being your strength even through the hardest of time. No, it won't look like the American dream. Right? We're not talking about year of blessing in that sense. Where He promises He's going to give you a big house and a big car and plenty of money. And you're going to be able to do whatever you want financially and so forth. No, it's actually better than that. Because that stuff eventually it breaks. It doesn't really satisfy, but the kind of blessing that God is talking about here is even better. The kind of blessing that Scripture promises. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. the very presence of God through His Holy Spirit, the chance to know that God more and more, the great treasure of being transformed into His likeness, the privilege of being able to serve in His name and see others blessed because God worked through us. And of course, God having us closer and closer to being with Him for all eternity. There's the blessing that He will work in us in this year ahead. We can expect it and look for it. Plan on it. And here is the place. And now is the time. That's a good way to summarize the last verses. It's where we'll end, where the psalm ends. Here is the place. Now is the time. God says that the heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth He has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Don't be confused by verse 17, thinking that maybe was the psalmist not believing there's an afterlife? Right? The dead don't praise the Lord. Does he not believe in heaven and resurrection? And of course the Scripture does. And the Old Testament does and speaks of it. And the New Testament even more clearly. But the point here of these final verses is to focus in on the stage of this current age, the stage of this earth. Verse 16 kind of sets the context. Right? The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth He's given to the children of man. Right? Here is the stage that God has laid out, has created. Here is where all the actors play their part. Here is where the idols are set up. Here's where the nations boast and mock the living God. Here is the place where God's people have the opportunity to trust Him and praise Him and look to Him. And here's where the drama is going to be played out. And the psalmist ends by really emphasizing that. Here's the place, this earth. Right, here's the time, right now. Of course, there will be more in eternity and there's more in heaven right now. But let's think about this human stage, the psalm says. Let's think about 2017. This is where we can praise Him and trust Him. Right? You can't trust Him and praise Him in 2016. You can't do it. It's gone. You can't do it in 2018. It's not here yet. But right where He has you. Here is the stage that God has set up. And here is where He's already given grace. Grace through His word this morning to show you what kind of God He is. Right? The God who is your help. The God who is your shield. The God as you trust Him, you fear Him, you cling to Jesus. There is the God who forgives and blesses even though we don't deserve it. So it's on that stage that God calls you to praise Him here. Serve Him here. Think about your days. Think about your plans. Some of those plans might look on the outside like everyone else's. Some of those plans might look different than everyone else's. But think about them as, well, here's the place. Now's the time for me to glorify God, strengthened by His Spirit. Here is where I can lift up that offering to the Lord. Right? This year, this day. We trust the Lord has cared for us in the year past. We'll worry about the year ahead, the following year when God brings us there, if He gives that to us. But now we'll just focus on today, knowing that God's presence is sufficient for here, His grace sufficient for today. Lord, help me to praise You. We can pray together as a people. The prayer of the first verse again. Lord, right here. Right in 2017, Lord, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory. Let's make that our prayer to Him even now. Let's pray. Father, we do pray for Your help and Your strength. We do pray, Lord, in our weakness that we would run and cling to the One who is mighty, the One who is in heaven, the One who does as He pleases, even pours out mercy upon His own. Father, we commit this year ahead into Your hands. We commit each day that You will give to us, all of the challenges, all of the opportunities. Father, we're thankful that you are the one who goes before us. Lord, help us to be that people who indeed trust in the Lord, who indeed turn aside from the idols of the nations, but cling even to you, our God, who clings so fiercely to us. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, let's close this morning as we turn to hymn 642. 642.